This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back! It's gone! Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frank Lee, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 217. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Hit rate 5 stars. Find us on the WEEI YouTube channel where you should definitely subscribe. And also find the Play Tessie playlist there, which has all of our episodes in video form. You should also follow us on all of the social accounts, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The at is Play Tessie. And we're joined by a very special guest, D'Angelo Ortiz. Yeah, that's right. D'Angelo Ortiz, the son of Big Poppy. But D'Angelo Ortiz forming a big league or a baseball career of his own. He's in the Red Sox system, drafted by the team last year. We asked him about that and talked about that with him. In the interview, it was very cool to talk about some of that stuff with him. But should we just kind of get right into this thing, man? Like, yeah,
go for it.
Let's go for it. Here's our interview with D'Angelo Ortiz. All right, we're here with D'Angelo Ortiz. First question I have for you, man: how much has your life changed in the last, let's say, year?
Yeah. I would say my life has, ever since July, obviously, it's just been like. Everything I've wanted, like to focus on baseball, to not have to worry about anything outside of my craft and like what I love doing, right? Like baseball has been something that I've been around in my whole life, and I just feel like now is what I've been waiting for, like for me to show up to the field every single day for my career. And you know, I love showing up to the field with my dad, but obviously it wasn't the same process. And I'm loving every minute of it. So everything's a blessing right now, and I'm just going with the flow.
So we all know about your dad and his game, but tell us about your game. You're in the spotlight now. What makes you different, and what makes you special as a baseball player?
Mm-hmm. I'm obviously the difference in me and my father is, you know, I play defense. I take pride in playing defense. I'm a third baseman. I also play second. I can play, you know, right field, left field, but I'm mainly an infielder. I try to be versatile, right? Like, I try to be, you know, one of these guys that just can make an impact on different parts of the field. And then, you know, obviously, my favorite part of the game is obviously hitting. And, you know, I think that right now where I'm at developing-wise is just trying to get better every single day in terms of, you know, catching the ball out in front and getting it in the air. I've always been a good you know, contact hitter, hitting the ball backside a lot. And, you know, now it's time for me to take that next step in terms of when you want to do damage, you know. And, you know, you look at the higher level, everybody's doing damage, you know. And that's what you want to do. So I think that's the next step for me, just getting more consistent with it, not just having one swing out there and the next 3 swings back here, kind of getting comfortable out there. And I feel like that's the next step.
And obviously, you know, making it to the majors or getting signed by a major league team, like that's a humongous deal in and of itself. How much does it mean for you for it to be Boston, to be here where you came with your dad growing up?
1,000%. I feel like my goal has always been to be a baseball player. And, you know, my journey has been a little bit different because I've had friends who, when they're coming up with me through the draft process and everything, obviously, they don't care, you know, where they go. They want their situation to be, you know, handled. And whatever they're looking for, they're looking for. Me personally, I wanted to be a Boston Red Sox, obviously, since I was a kid. I think that when you're in the draft process and it becomes more like, okay, like, I really want to be a baseball player, and I really want to get drafted. To, like, have a specific team can be kind of greedy, but I feel like, I just feel like everything went very smoothly, and everything went the way I wanted it to go, because now I'm here.
During the process, did you have any inkling that it was going to be the Red Sox, or did was it all a mystery to you, and just on draft night, you got the call, and it just
no, happened I, to be? No, it was between Boston and, like, two other teams, and I wanted to be Red Sox. I knew that it's a whole process, because everybody's conversation and their process with the team themselves goes differently. I think that for me, what it was, I never said this, but I think that when it came down to the moment, it was really like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, it could be 50-50. But it's because I'm not behind the scenes. Right. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know who's talking about what. So I think when the moment happened, it was kind of like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. And then the moments leading up to it, in my mind, I was like, okay, I think Boston's going to be the team. I think Boston's going to be the team. And then when it gets to the round it's going to happen, or when they tell you it's going to happen, you feel like, and I feel like the Savannah Bananas could have picked my name right there. I don't know what I was waiting for, but it just that's what it comes down to. And then you, like, you know, you get a call, and you know they tell you, like, a team can tell you, like, yo, we're looking at you, you know, here, these rounds, and then the round come up, and you might not get picked by that team in that round, but another team could pick you or anything. So I was just waiting. I got a call a few rounds earlier, but then when my name just popped up on the screen, so I was looking at the screen, and
so wait, you saw it on the screen before you got a call?
Oh man.
Wow,
that's
crazy.
What was nerve wracking?
No, it was ridiculous. my agent had called me a few rounds earlier, because he was just telling me, like, okay, I think, you know, this is the round. They're going to give you a call. Be ready for the call. So in my mind, listen to this. In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, my gosh. So if I don't get a call before the pick for that round comes up, I'm not getting picked.
Yeah, cool.
So the 16th pick, seven, whatever, these picks are coming up, and it's the teams right before Boston, and they don't call me. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. I'm cooked. Yeah, I'm good. I'm washed. And then my name popped up, and I'm telling you, like, this, my phone went from my name popping up to just, like, I never got so many calls in my life. Like, I never got so many calls in my life, because in my life, when my dad has, like, when my dad has done something, like, Hall of Fame, for example, a lot of people want to congratulate him through me because they can't reach him. But even for stuff like that, like, some people have feel, and they're like, I'm not gonna congratulate D'Angelo. He didn't get one at bat in the big leagues. So which I, that's understanding. So for this, it was like one of the first things in my life, I would say, that, you know, like, so many people around me saw my process to get here, and, like, how much of a journey it was. Like, you know, it's everyone's journey is different. It's not easy for anybody. And then in the same way that it's not easy for anybody, I think that you have to also look at it and be like, you can't take someone's situation and just in your head assume that, oh, their route was this or their route was that, because there's a lot of guys in that locker room that you'd be surprised from where they came to where they are now, and how big of jumps that they've made. So I think that really now it's just my turn to make that jump, and the first few months was very like, wow, like, it happened, I'm here. But now it's time to work.
Does it feel like the spotlight has kind of flipped to you in the family?
Well, I would say that's difficult, because my dad, he liked that attention.
What? No way. No
my
way.
My dad liked that attention. He liked that attention. I don't know. I don't
we're
know.
All cool with it.
No, I know. So I would say I got a few more missiles to hit before it's all on me. But I think that the way it's going right now is perfectly fine. I think that whether people want to look at him or look at me, I think that minor league baseball, and when you get an opportunity, like I got an opportunity, is really about, like, coming into yourself and learning the type of player you are, whether people want to look at me like this or like that or look at my dad, you know, I don't have any problem with any of that. I just think that it's up to me to just focus and get better every single day, because when my dad was my age, he had to focus and get better every single day so that people could know his name now. But, you know, you got to be realistic. Like, you're not going to be... First of all, you're not going to be a Hall of Famer unless you get to the big leagues. And you're not going to be a big leaguer unless you perform. So I think that there's a lot of steps that you got to focus on before you look up and be like, you know, I want to be this, you know, well, super famous, this and then the third. Because reality of it is that my dad had good timing. He just had good timing.
Same. So did we.
Yeah, we had good too. Good timing. That's it. Yeah, but.
Now the big questions.
All right, let's get into the fun
let's
stuff.
Do it. These are the important ones.
Yeah, this is really why we're here. Mm-hmm. So, baseball aside, mm-hmm. what else besides baseball are you an expert in?
UFOs.
Oh, let's get into it.
Oh. That was a quick one,
give
too.
Me some UFOs. Specifics.
Matter of fact, I walk in here the other day, I was right there. I walk in here with a few of my teammates. I look up. It's pitch black, right? It's pitch black. So there are these dots at night that go in at a crazy speed, and they're like 70,000 feet high. And reality is that I think that these ones are satellites because they go in a straight line.
Okay.
But a lot of people I know are uneducated because they think that they're airplanes. Airplanes, first of all, listen. Airplanes, the higher that airplanes are, the slower they're going to look.
Yeah. Right.
When you see something that's zooming so fast that when you look down and you look up, it's in a different spot, that is not an airplane. And also, when it's 80,000 feet high. Now, I've seen satellites, and I've also seen some questionable things. But I don't want to, you know, put my house on it, but we're not alone. That's all I'm going to say. We're not alone.
I mean, statistically, it would be more unlikely to be alone than not alone.
1,000%.
So, yeah.
They don't even know what's in the ocean. Yeah. They're staying in the ocean.
Deep sea, scary.
I'll tell you.
UFO, that was the quickest. Everyone else has been like, what am I?
Oh,
expert?
God, I got
it. You were like,
that was.
No, UFOs.
UFOs.
What are the other things you've seen? You said you've seen some
okay,
other things.
Okay, so. Okay, perfect. So I seen satellites, right? I seen satellites go high. I'm like, oh, that's a satellite. I've been on boats in the Dominican Republic where you have to remember in the Dominican Republic, there's not as much city lights. So you see everything in the sky. So I've seen satellites there on boats where the captains of the boats were like, no, that's a satellite. I've also been on boats in the Dominican Republic where me and multiple other people saw something. There's multiple occasions too. One time in Miami, one time in Dominican. Where it looks like a dot, like super high, super high. And it's flying, and it's doing circles, and it's like changing direction. I swear on everything. I mean, listen, I'm not even here to convince nobody. I'm just telling you what I seen. Because I went inside, I told my mom, I saw a UFO, and she told me it was crazy. So I can't really express the things I've seen. Because some people won't believe it, but it's like I've definitely seen things flying that there's no pilot in there.
To be fair, everyone who discovers something like that is called crazy at first.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I'm delusional. I don't care. You know who's delusional? The people that think that there's a human flying those spaceships up there that are going in circles. That's what I think.
Show me the human.
Show me the human.
This is great.
G-force, you know?
All right. Big switch of topic.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your most controversial food take.
Controversial food take.
A hot take.
Okay. Oh, got you. So I'm Dominican, so we eat plantain with everything, right?
Love plantain.
But then if I don't have plantain and I have white rice and beans, I'll just cut up a banana and put it in.
Isn't that like very, isn't, don't, wouldn't people get upset with you for that? Because the difference is like.
They'll get upset with you, and then when you tell them to try it, they'll get upset that they never had it before. So they can be upset, they can this and that and the third, but everyone I've ever had try that, loved it.
Because I've heard people be like, plantains and bananas. Completely different.
Yeah. But see, here's where Dominicans are experts in food. The texture aspect. You know why? Avocado, Dominicans eat it with everything. Mm. Everything. And avocado with a lot of those seasonings, the texture of it goes perfect with it. Perfect. And it's like, that's why, you know, you have avocado with rice, avocado with egg, avocado with toast. And it's all these things that it's like, it just goes really well with it. But that doesn't mean that avocado is the only thing that can go with these foods. Okay. Banana has a similar texture. And it has a similar texture. Avocado can be like a little softer, but it goes so well. And then the little bit of like the sweetness of the banana, it just changes everything because you have a lot of seasoning flavor from the beans and from the and also from the meat. Mm-hmm. Like there's pollo guisado, there's a whole lot of types of meat that has a lot of sauce. And when you put banana with it.
Okay. Ooh, so it's a viable substitute.
Yeah. All I mean that I could switch cultures completely. I could go to just cinnamon raisin bread. That's normal, but like I like cinnamon raisin bread a lot.
Yeah, and that's a great take.
Good take.
Yeah. And that's a great take.
Controversial part about that is I could eat a cinnamon raisin bread ham and cheese sandwich.
Oh.
I'm not gonna get on you for that. I've never tried it, and I don't. I mean, I love both.
We've had some insane food takes. Like we had Richard Fitz said he likes cookies from Moe's mm-hmm. with the queso on it. Because it happened by accident, and he tried, and he was like, this is good. That way I was like, no. That actually...
Richard, he said he liked cookies with cheese?
Yeah.
The queso sauce from Moe's, specifically. Yeah. Kind of...
That was a crazy one.
Kind of disturbing.
I don't think your ham and cheese take is crazy.
No, I feel
no,
like
no, because you ever had a... Breakfast. You ever had a... Yeah, like a breakfast sandwich with a donut or a waffle or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the sweetness. No, and then I'm huge sweet and like salty type of guy. I like the mixture.
Sweet, savory.
Yeah, because when it's too sweet, I get sick of it. When it's too salty, I need water all the time. Mm-hmm. Sweet and salty. All
right. Mm-hmm. Good one.
I like that take.
Last one for you. Have you ever seen The Town?
The Town.
Ben Affleck?
Where they rob Fenway.
Rob Fenway Park?
Yes, I've seen the scene.
Okay.
I've seen the scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Town. But I've also feel like I've seen the movie. It's been under my house.
You really need to know the movie too well for the question. Like, basically, well, you want to explain like what the objective is?
So the premise of the question is you're robbing Fenway. Mm-hmm. You get to pick three people in the organization and one getaway driver to rob Fenway with you.
Oh my, this is so easy.
Who are you picking and why?
This is so easy.
All right,
this is so easy.
Go.
Okay, first guy I'm picking is Brian, the security guy who's at the front door when you walk in the players' lot.
No. Wait, okay, Garrett said Jimmy. Okay, Garrett said Jimmy at Fenway.
Okay, second security guard, different one. All right.
So Brian. Number two, I'm picking Kenyatta. He works in the clubhouse. He's been there my whole life. He's like the first one to show up and the last one to leave. Also, Tommy, equipment guy. He shows up like right after Kenyatta and leaves like the latest.
So you're picking based off of dedication here.
I'm picking based on who knows the Rider. Inside and the out of Fenway.
Oh.
And also who knows where things go, where things are put, who locks, who doesn't lock. Where the keys go, none of it has to do with like
this thought process.
This is so good, D'Angelo. This is so good.
This is good. All right, who's the driver?
Okay. Who's driving?
So matter of fact, let me go back. So Kenyatta, I'll take Kenyatta. I don't have to take Tommy. My third is just gonna be my third will be Tommy. My getaway driver is Brian, who stays in the front of the parking lot.
Okay.
He has all the cars right there. He knows who comes in. He knows what parking spaces are open. I'm probably going. All right. So he's a getaway. What else?
You got one more to rob with you.
To rob with me?
Yeah.
Like another person?
Yeah.
I'll probably go. I'm Robin Fenway. My last person is probably going to be Rafael Devers because if Rafi's with me and we walk into Fenway, it don't matter what time of the day it is, nobody's going to question him.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It might be 1 a.m. that we walk in there. If it's Devers, he's going to get extra work.
Yeah.
next thing you know, we still home plate. We still second base.
This is so well thought out.
The thought
scary.
Process here is phenomenal.
It's almost like I've been thinking about robbing Fenway ever since I was 10.
Every other answer has been like, this guy is fast. This guy's sneaky. You're like, no, this guy knows the ins and outs of the whole club.
Yeah, this guy knows where the bodies are. This guy.
Well, it's a different situation with me. I know a lot of the guys that work in the clubhouse and
they know what you need to know.
You know the underbelly of Fenway.
That's it.
Getting around.
That's it. Like these guys know everything about Fenway. And the stadium's changed a lot in the past few years. You know, the clubhouse has changed a lot. But those guys are in every day, so they help me.
That is an awesome answer. D'Angelo, appreciate it, man. Play Tessie debut.
Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks, D'Angelo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, big shout out to D'Angelo Ortiz for jumping on the pod with the fellas. I was about to say Lil Poppy. Should his nickname be Lil Poppy or Big, maybe it should just be Lil Poppy. What else could it be? Am I missing something here?
Big Padre.
Isn't that just another way of saying Big Poppy?
Yeah.
How tall is he? How tall is
I don't know.
D'Angelo is 6'1". That might be generous. I feel like he wasn't 6'1".
I think I was taller than him.
Yeah, I was going to say. How tall? David is definitely taller.
David, I think he's like 6'4".
David Ortiz is... I've got it. Trust me, it's coming. Height, 6'3". Feels like he's bigger than 6'3". I don't trust any of this shit. No. I don't trust athlete heights online. I have less trust in that than pretty much anything.
Yeah. I mean, every year, Kevin Durant shrinks an inch, but he's 7'1". Happens every year. I will say, D'Angelo, we've talked like when we dropped the Christian Campbell episode, when we dropped the Roman episode, we talked about how like they kind of matured into like the whole media thing. Like off the bat, they were very like I don't want to say stage fright, but they were like very like unopen, like kind of awkward. Not even kind of with D'Angelo. Like you could tell he grew up with his dad around the media because we literally just sat down and shot the shit. He was the nicest kid in the world. And it was funny because, Gordon, I don't know if you remember, but we were hanging out by the clubhouse and Rob was like, oh, it's D'Angelo. You should go get D'Angelo. And we walk up and we have like this, like our like normal spiel. And Rob from like 30 feet behind us just goes, yo, D, they're good.
D.
Yo, D, they're good people. And D'Angelo just goes, all right. We just sat down with us. But no, dude, D'Angelo was awesome.
That's the thing with a kid like D'Angelo. I mean, he grew up at the ballpark, right? You used to see the pictures of him at Fenway all the time. Media has been a part of his life since probably as early as he can remember. And the media in Boston surrounding the Red Sox during his dad's career, you know, was very up and down. I mean, obviously they won 3 World Series with David Ortiz on the team, but you had a lot of downs too. I mean, you had the chicken and beer scandal. You had the Bobby Valentine era. Like there was some times where the media, like I'm sure David Ortiz would come home from work. Maybe not with maybe he didn't always have the highest opinion of the media at times. I mean, it seems like overall most of the media around here and him have a good relationship today, but like these are relationships that have peaks and valleys. I mean, he was in Boston for a long time and it would not have surprised me one bit if D'Angelo was a little bit closed off to the media and maybe had grown like, I've seen this role before. You say the wrong thing, they take it and run a million miles with it. He didn't know us before the interview. So like, you never know when guys are just going to be jaded and, you know, just couldn't give less of a shit. But like, you know, D'Angelo was chill as fuck, man. Like he was a great kid. Was down to just like shoot the shit, talk about, you know, what goes on in his mind, like the UFO conversation, super cool. Like he didn't give the cookie cutter answers for like, okay, this is how I answer this and make sure that it doesn't become a story. No, like this guy was just down to have fun. And like I really appreciate that because with a guy who grew up with a famous father, like that's not necessarily a guarantee.
Yeah, and I think one thing too is like for the guys that we've had on like a couple of times, like the Murphs and the Kellys and the Whitlocks and the Bernies, like on like the second, third go around, like that's when they get like super comfortable and they actually like put thought into the answers. Like they joke around, like all
they
that.
They trust you. They trust, like,
exactly. Yeah. And there was none of that with D'Angelo. Like he was just like laid it all out, had a great time, just shot the shit. And it was awesome. He, I hope we have him on again at some point because he, like, even after we wrapped, he was like, oh, when you guys drop this, he's like, tag me. Like, I'd appreciate it. It was great talk. Like, he's just the nicest kid and he's just like down to earth. And Gordo, like you said, like, he has every right to kind of be skeptical of Boston media.
Yeah.
But lucky for him, his dad is on the Mount Rushmore of Boston athletes and he is God when he walks the streets. So, yeah. Shout out to D'Angelo. He was awesome.
That's the thing, though, man. Like, one thing I really appreciated about him and how he talked, because we didn't necessarily shy away. Like, we didn't, like, our questions weren't directly asking about his dad, but we didn't avoid the subject of, like, hey, like, your dad is David Ortiz. And he didn't avoid it either. And, like, he addressed it head on. Like, you know, David Ortiz is my dad and he had that career and, you know, he's a legend for that. And now here's me. I'm trying to, you know, forge my own path and do my own thing and make a name for myself in a way that's not just being his son. So like some people, it's kind of like how some actors get known for one role and don't, like, one thing that I watched, crap. Oh my God. Christopher Walken. This is wild that I'm the one talking about this, but he, the fucking cowbell thing on SNL, like the needs more cowbell thing. Like he won't even talk about that shit. Like he didn't go in the documentary on SNL to do, like, guys just like they, I don't know. I don't know why I'm necessarily comparing that to the D'Angelo situation, but it's like, he could easily just be so sick of like everyone asking him about his dad, but like, no, he's like, that's cool as fuck. Like, I love what he did and like it's been awesome, but at the same time, I am going to try to forge my own path here.
Yeah, and kind of like you were saying with Christopher Walken is like Jason Alexander, the guy who played George Costanza on Seinfeld. Like he like couldn't get a job after Seinfeld because people just thought he was George Costanza. And like D'Angelo, like you kind of have to break the Poppy's son. Like you have to kind of make a name for yourself. And after, not, I don't want to call it success, like, you know, like George Costanza, but it's once you're nationally and immediately recognized for one thing, it's hard to kind of build a name for yourself.
Right.
But shout out to D'Angelo because he's hitting over 300 in the FCL and he's doing great.
Yeah. Mid 800s OPS, like maybe potential promotion at some point this summer. Like we'll see. But there hopefully will be a round two. And more with D'Angelo, whether it be at spring training next year, I don't know. Like we'll see when we cross paths with him again. But definitely a guy that we want to have back on the pod again. Dude is, again, chill as fuck. Loved the kid and rooting for nothing but success for him. And again, it just goes far beyond him being David Ortiz's kid. Like he's just an all around awesome kid. And I'm just excited to see what he does in Major League Baseball moving forward, man. Like I'm glad he's a part of the Red Sox organization. Again, it's not like he's a quality player and it's not just because his dad is David Ortiz that he is here. He's having success and a lot of kids that get drafted when they become pros instantly, like you'll see, oh, Pat, who's the guy who the Red Sox had that ended up going to the NFL? Oh, you see the
picture. Felipe Frank.
The name doesn't ring a bell. I don't know.
No. Shaq Thompson.
Yeah, that. Him. Look up his minor league stats. Like, Shaq Thompson.
They're bad. They are the worst. You think Trevor Story's bad? Look at Shaq Thompson's minor league stats.
All right, I'm going to pull it up real quick. Because, like, Shaq Thompson is a perfect example of a guy where it's like, okay, he entered minor league baseball and it became very evident that he was not going to play baseball. All right, here we go. I've got it up. He played in rookie ball in the Gulf Coast League. He played 13 games. He had 47 plate appearances, 39 at-bats. He did not get a hit. 39 at-bats, 0 for 39 with 37 strikeouts.
Yeah.
That is a guy who cannot play minor league baseball. D'Angelo Ortiz hitting in the 300s within mid-800s OPS. That guy can play baseball. And we're going to see where that kid's career goes and rooting for nothing but success. He's not just David Ortiz's kid. He's his own man. And we're excited, friend of the program now, Play Tessie, friend of the program. We are excited to see where he goes. Anything else before we wrap this thing up, Pat?
Nothing.
All right, man. That's going to do it for episode 217. Big shout out to D'Angelo Ortiz for jumping on with the fellas here. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts and rate 5 stars. And then subscribe to the WEI YouTube channel where you can find the Play Tessie playlist, which has all of our episodes. And you can hit the thumbs up on those videos, which helps us out a ton. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure to follow there. Really appreciate it. And there's tons of good content coming out all the time on those platforms. So again, big shout out for D'Angelo Ortiz for jumping on with the fellas. That's going to do it for episode 217 of Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning into this one, everyone. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.